All right, Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. Oh, this is going to be fun. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac... This is the thing that turns people off to the Bible. I just don't like all those these and thous and all those begats and begots. Well, bear with it. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob, Judas, and his brethren. Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab. I'm just helping you do your Bible reading today. And Amminadab begat Nashon, Nashon begat Salmon. I like to eat salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king. Now remember, last week when we talked about this, we talked about the significance of Jesus Christ being identified as the son of David and the son of Abraham because of the promises that were given to those two men. Abraham, the land grant, the line of the Jews, ruler of the world, and the promised seed, David the king, the throne and the kingdom that come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Killing him on the cross did not stop him from being the king of the Jews. And shortly, thank God, he'll be here and show everybody in the world that doesn't believe it that in fact he is the king. He is the king. Muhammad Ali thought he was. This guy is. Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. That's Bathsheba. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abiah. Abiah, Asa. Asa, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, Joram. You don't realize this, but that's not who Jehoshaphat's son is. But you'll see it in a minute. Joram begat, after this, actually, Ozias. You'll see the skip here in just a minute. Ozias begat Joatham. Joatham begat Achaz. Achaz, Ezekias. Ezekias, Manasseh. Manasseh, Ammon. Ammon, Josias. I'm doing a pretty good job with these names. Josias, Jeconiah, and his brethren about the time that they were carried away into Babylon. After they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, Salathiel, Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, Abiad, Abiad, Eliakim, Eliakim, Azor. See, I leave out the begats and then it doesn't offend you. Azor, Zadok, Zadok, Achim, Achim, Eliud, Eliud begat Eleazar, Eleazar, Mathan, Mathan, Jacob, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are how many? 14. And from David unto the carrying away to Babylon, how many? 14, and from the carrying away unto Babylon, unto Christ, there are 14 generations. Now, what we want to look at this morning are three basic things. First of all, we want to notice that although this is a line of Jews, that's solid Jews from Abraham right down to Joseph, and those men are all named there, that in fact, there is a Gentile influence in the line. We want to notice that, and we'll see where it is this morning. Next thing we want to look at is this skip that I alerted you to when we were reading down there after Jehoshaphat and Joram. We want to look at the skip that's there and try to ascertain why they're missing, because that removed three kings out of the line, which would have made 17 instead of 14 in this nice and orderly 14, 14, and 14 that Matthew talks about. And then we want to, if we've got time, look at a fellow named Jeconias, and we want to see something significant about this fellow. He was mentioned down there in verse 12. And those three things are very significant in this line. And you would miss those ordinarily just reading down there going, a bunch of names here. But there's something significant in the list. You know, sometimes when people go back in their generations, they talk about all the famous people. I had so-and-so, and he fought in the Civil War, and so, and he came over on the boat and settled in here and bought land and made a very productive mercantile business, and so was a very famous banker, and so served in the Senate and all that kind of stuff. But they never tell you about the skeletons in the closet. You know, unless maybe some people like to tell, we had a horse thief in the family. You know, they hung him from an oak tree. There's some skeletons in the closet that are missing here. We want to look at that. Now, first of all, we want to look at the Gentile influence. And why is that significant? Because we know that salvation is of the Jews. And when Jesus Christ came, he announced to them, I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet we know, look over here with me real quick in Romans chapter 15. We know from Romans chapter 15 that Paul figured out later that there was a whole lot of prophecy in the Old Testament about the fact that you and I could get in on this good stuff. And God knew it in the Old Testament. Look at Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 8, and Paul tells you something. He said, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Now he's going to quote you some Old Testament. And if you have a Bible that has cross references in it, this will show you where these things are coming from. As it is written, A, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. That's from 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50. Again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's from Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. That's from Psalm 117, verse 1. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root out of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. That's from Isaiah 11, verse 10. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing and so forth and so on. Now look at verse 16. Paul says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to whom? To the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. So we see in Matthew's description of the genealogy of Jesus Christ where there is a Gentile influence that opens eventually the way to these Gentiles converts like you and I are. Look back in there and I'll show you where that is. Look in verse 3 of the lineage. Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Anybody remember Tamar? Remember her very much? Or not too much? Don't remember at all. See, that's from the study of Genesis. And as I said, repetition is a good teacher. She was the daughter-in-law. Yeah. When Judas decided to start marrying off his boys, remember? He gave a daughter-in-law, or ended up with a daughter-in-law, and she married Ur. And he got killed by the Lord because he was evil. So Onan went into her to raise up seed to his brother, and he didn't want to do that. And so he died. And Tamar says, well, what about the third son? And Judah, being a fairly wise man, realized, I don't want to lose all three of my boys to this woman. I don't know what this spider woman is doing here, killing these boys of mine. So he didn't marry her off, and she got upset about it, took her widow garments of widowhood off, and went and pretended to be a harlot. Remember that now? And then he stayed with her and gave the bracelet and the signet and the staff, and then she found out she was with a child. Well, she ended up having twins, Phares and Zerah. What was her nationality? Was she a Jew? He took her from the land where he was residing. He was residing in the land of Canaan. She was a Canaanite woman, not a Jew. So there's the first Gentile influence that comes in, and it comes in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judas in the fourth generation. Already we get the first influence. But that's not all. Look down here at verse 5. Salmon begat Boaz, or Boaz, it shows in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth, of Rahab. Now, who's Rahab? Do you remember her? She's the prostitute. Where does she live? What city did she live in? Huh? Speak. Jericho. That's it. Jericho. Yeah, a little Bible test here. Trivia. She lived in Jericho. She's the one that took the two spies in and then hid them and told them about the city and so forth, that admitted that the hearts of the men in the city failed for them and melted before them because of, you know, the impending attack and what had happened on the other side of the Jordan River. And she said, if you'll protect me, you know, I want you to protect me and I'll help you out. And they said, okay, hang the scarlet thread out and whoever's in your house will be protected, but you can't leave your house. Now you remember all that. That's Rahab. Well, where was she from? Jericho. What kind of nationality would she be living down in Jericho? Amorite. But she's a Gentile nonetheless. She's not a, obviously not a Jew. They come in and attack and destroy that city. Okay, and then the next one is Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. What nationality is Ruth? She's a Moabite. Now, y'all remember that. Ruth the Moabitess, because Naomi goes with Elimelech, her husband, and they go down to Moab to get away from a famine, and the two boys marry, and all the boys die, the husband dies, and she's left with Ruth and Orpah. You can see her on television in the mornings. Or is it the afternoons? I don't know when she comes on. Oprah Winfrey. A little different spelling. Anyway, Orpah. And Orpah stays back and Ruth goes. And then Ruth ends up married. Hi, Mom. You having back problems today? For those of you who don't know a pastor's wife, she's the only one that can whisper in Sunday school class, right? All right, and so Ruth was a Moabitess. And you know, there's a strange thing about Moab. What was the prohibition on that nationality of people? Does anybody remember? Wouldn't let them go into the land, go through them to get into the land of Canaan. There was a prohibition. And the prohibition was there wasn't supposed to be any intermarriage with them. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23. In those days, this is what he saw. This is what Nehemiah saw when they were going back into Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. In those days, Nehemiah 13, verse 23, I saw Jews that married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. That's hurt. Pull hair out. Made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. It's prohibition. That's what that they weren't supposed to do that. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there none king like him who was beloved of his God. God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. That's why there wasn't supposed to be any intermarriage with them. And yet in this case, God made an exception. Now, as you would say, they're not supposed to be any Gentiles in this deal. But in our case, God made an exception. Amen. Thank God for that. So, Ruth is a Moabitess. She gets in. That's not all. Jesse begat David the king. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. What nationality was Uriah? Uriah the Hittite. Yeah, so you remember him when you think of that. Uriah the Hittite, and he's married to a woman named Bathsheba, who is probably likewise, certainly not a Jew, but probably likewise a Hittite. And he marries her, and Solomon, the heir to the throne, the promised kingdom and all that stuff, is that child. And then one more time, Rehoboam. Solomon begat Rehoboam. See him right there, Roboam. Rehoboam in the Old Testament. Look in 1 Kings chapter 14 and notice what his mother was. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, look at verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21, and Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old and began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was what? Naamah, what nationality? An Ammonitess. Another one of those that was forbidden for intermarriage. And so you've got, that's an interesting thing that God does there in making that exception. That promise to Abraham is so true, so irrevocable, that the children born in that covenant relationship are still children who are awarded the fruit of that promise in spite of the Gentile influence, and yet the influence tells us God makes an exception in our case. And he did. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that's Ephesians 2:12, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then he runs down there and shows you how we've been made one, and the middle wall of partition is broken down. Verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's good. It's good. That's a great boy. We want to be in that household. No doubt about it. Okay, so that's the first thing. But then let's look at this next thing here. We're going to look at this skip that takes place down here after Jehoshaphat. Yeah. And, you know, really looking at the influence of the deal. Actually, he's fooled you in the sense of his father's lineage, but there is a mixture in there. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. All right, now verse 8, Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, that was his name before he went on Weight Watchers. Then he was Jossa Skinny. Couldn't resist. The only reason I did this is because Epper told me, he said, you get me back. He said, next time you tell a stupid joke in church, nobody's going to laugh. You watch. And I looked over there. He was laughing. I just wanted to see if he could stand it. He couldn't stand it. He just couldn't stand it. Jehoshaphat begat Joram. Joram begat Uzias or Ozias. Now what we got to do is we got to go backwards to the Old Testament and we got to look at some things that are missing. Go to 2 Chronicles and look at chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Now, who can tell me briefly, you know, they've got 1 and 2 Kings, all right? And then you read 1 and 2 Chronicles and guess what you read about? The stuff you read in 1 and 2 Kings. Who can tell me the major difference between those two sets of books? 1 and 2 Kings and then 1 and 2 Chronicles. Anybody? The major difference?
One is the Jewish line, the other is from the half tribe not the half tribe, but for the ones that broke off.
I just want to see your expression. Actually, you're actually probably right on it or very close anyway. What First and Second Kings deals with both the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. That's the one. That's what you're trying to say. And Chronicles only deals with the kings of Judah. Exactly. Yeah. I'll give you half credit. You're welcome. That's 50%. And you'll be moving up during the day. I hope so. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and who reigned in his stead? Joram. Okay, hopefully you kept your finger in Matthew. Go back over there and you see Joram in the line. Jehoshaphat begat Joram. Okay? And you go back over here to 2 Chronicles and look at chapter 22. So Jehoram dies, and then look at this. Chapter 22, verse 1, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. Well, Ahaziah is not in the line in Matthew. Go to chapter 23. Actually, go to the end of 22:12. Athaliah reigned in the land for 7 years. That was his mother, so to speak. Chapter 24, Joash reigned. He was 7 years old when he took the throne. Chapter 25, verse 1, Amaziah took the throne after him. He was 25 years old. And then, chapter 26, verse 1, Ozias or Uzziah takes the throne. Does that confuse you that in one place they're called Ozias and the other place he's called Uzziah? Do you understand that? Does that confuse you at all? Or in one place in the Old Testament, Noah is N-O-A-H, and in the New Testament is N-O-E. That is something called transliteration. You take the pronunciation in Hebrew and give it alphabet in English. Then you take the pronunciation in Greek and you use the alphabet in English. It just comes out spelled differently. It's the same person. So the three guys that are missing then in the line are Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah. They're just not even mentioned. They're the skeletons in the closet. And there's probably a good reason for that. And I'll show you what the reason is. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Excuse me. Here's a clear, concise rundown on the genealogy here. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 10. Solomon's son was Rehoboam, Abiah his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son. Here are the three right in a row. Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah. And then it comes down to Azariah, who is also Uzziah. He's got two names. And then on down the rest of the line. So they're right there, three of them. You see them, they're right there together, but they're missing. Now, I'll show you probably what this is the result of. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, first verses. All right, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 17, look at verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. That's the son of Asa. And strengthened himself against Israel. Okay, so for a period of time there's some war. There's some defense against the two southern tribes to protect themselves against the 10 northern tribes. Now watch what happens in chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Who is Ahab? He was the king of Israel. When it says he joined affinity with Ahab, what does that mean? Huh? They were friends.
They went to war together.
Anything else? Anybody know what the word affinity means? Marriage. He actually marries Ahab's sister. And Ahab is from Israel. He joined affinity. He brought. You know what they were trying to do? And I'll show it to you here in a second. He's the king of Judah, right? And Ahab is the king of Israel. Did God want the 10 tribes and the two southern tribes to join up? Or did he want them kept separate? He wanted to separate. As a matter of fact, when Rehoboam tried to exact tribute money from the 10 northern tribes, God intervened. Shephaniah went in there, a man of God, and said, ain't going to happen. And they were... And they are still the broken house of Israel and Judah to this day. God did not want them back together. He joined affinity with Ahab. He married into the family. And watch what happened. As a result of his close relationship with Ahab, when Jehoshaphat dies, notice what he's called in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. I'll show you. But notice what happened. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. He had his brethren of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, and so forth and so on, these guys. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of what? He wasn't the king of Israel. He was the king of what? He was the king of Judah. He's the king of the two southern tribes. But that intermarriage started joining up the kingdoms together again. And when he is dead, he is also known as the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat and Ahab were working together to bring those two kingdoms back together. And God didn't want them together. And in the intermarriage, notice what happens. Turn over here to Kings, 1 Kings. The guy before Ahab is a fellow named Omri. 1 Kings chapter 16. I'm sorry, I kept naming the book and I wouldn't tell you where. Duh. What street does he live on? He lives on Leopard Street. Might want to give me a number. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 23. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria, of Shemer, for 2 talents of silver, built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill of Samaria. But Omri wrought what? Evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. That's the guy that made the 2 golden calves. And in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. So he dies, and verse 28 at the end, Ahab his son reigned in his stead. Now in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. How bad? Above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. Oh, that one, the daughter of Ethbaal, Baal, like worship, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. He made a grove and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And Jehoshaphat says, I think I'll marry your sister and we'll set up a joint kingdom. As a matter of fact, when they tried to build ships together and sail, God destroyed that thing. God was trying the best he could to break that thing up. But what happened is he marries into that wicked line. And, you know, you'll read in the Bible sometimes, God will say unto the such and such generation of them that hate me, for instance, he'll say, don't make any graven images to bow down there to and worship them. And then he'll say, well, it's Exodus chapter 20, I'm just going to read it to you. And he'll say, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, he'll say, Exodus 20, verse 5, he said, don't bow down thyself to them nor serve them. I, the Lord, am the jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the fourth and third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God washed that thing out in three or four generations and then started naming that line again with Uzziah and dropped out those three boys in the line. Because Jehoshaphat, in that intermarriage, brought in something that God didn't want in that line. Isn't that something? And dropped them out, skeletons in the closet, dropped them out of the line. In this deal. Okay, I am not going to take the time to start you on Jeconiah. No, because that's a great thing. But let me just tell you one thing that's very interesting about him, just to whet your appetite. God said to Jeconiah, there shall not be a man of yours to reign on the throne of Israel forever. Jesus Christ, as you see in Matthew, comes through that line. How does he get Jesus Christ on the throne if he says there shall not be a man of your generations on the throne of Israel? Next week I'll give you the answer. To try to figure that one out. He says you're not going to put one of his men on there. How's he going to get him on the throne? Okay, well, we're going to take a little break time here and enjoy a little bit of fellowship.